Welcome to the FICO Diva Show. I'm Aldiva Rubalcaba, and today we're taking control of your financial future. You're watching Now Media Television.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the FICO Diva Show. I'm Aldiva Rubalcaba, and on this show, we talk about financial empowerment, not as something reserved for experts, but as something every person can learn, practice, and use to build stronger future. Today, we're starting with a challenge many business owners in high-tax households face. They work hard, they earn money, they pay their bills, and still do not feel clear about where the money went or what they should do next. My guest today is Kelly Coughlin, CPA and CEO of Everyday CPA, Inc. Through Everyday CPA and iPacio, Kelly Coughlin helps business owners, self-employed individuals, and high-tax households reduce taxes, understand their numbers, and build wealth. Kelly Coughlin, welcome to the FICO Diva Show.
Aldiva Rubalcaba, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did Everyday CPA come about, and tell us about your trademarked iPacio. Am I saying it correctly?
Pacio.
Pacio. Tell us about it.
iPacio first. It comes from the abridged or abbreviated version of the founder of accounting named Luca Pacioli. And he set up a bookkeeping system in the 15th century, I believe, called the double entry accounting system. And it's worked beautifully, elegantly, and simply for 500 plus years, right? Except it doesn't work for many, many small businesses. And so we took the name, created this avatar, Pacio, put a little I in front of it for technology thing, and called him iPacio. And this is the next generation in accounting for small businesses.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear about it, because I do a lot of accounting as well. So that's that I'm really curious myself. So because a lot of our entrepreneurs are using QuickBooks, what's the fundamental difference between iPacio and QuickBooks?
Well, I don't really want to get into the boring guts of it, how the sausage is made, so to speak. But I'll just tell you a little bit how we looked at the world. And I'm really glad that you know QuickBooks and you have business clients, and you better than many know what they deal with and how many things they have to clean up in order for you to clean it up. There's just so many processes that take owner time, and QuickBooks has done a remarkably good job of trying to make a double entry accounting system not really be a double entry accounting system. Because the double entry accounting system, at its core, you need to know, debits and credits, and which one goes here, which one goes there, and for those of us in the accounting business, it's kind of second nature, I guess. But it surprisingly, but understandably, confuses many people, and we sought to change that paradigm. I have to say, I don't think our industry, and I'll put you in that industry, and certainly me, I don't think we've done a good job of helping move people along, empowering them to do a good job with their numbers. We've done a good job of making them reliant upon us, but we haven't done a good job, like we have in so many areas, of trying to empower them to take charge.
I agree. And so many of our business owners are so focused on the gross, they forget that we live off the net and they don't even know where they're spending their money. So yeah, I love anything with accounting that helps our entrepreneurs make better financial decisions. And so, Kelly, many people work hard and still feel confused or anxious about their finances. Why is financial confusion so common, especially amongst our business owners?
Well, financial confusion comes from a series of historical activities. It's almost like it's a teenage girl's diary, if you will. It's all it does is, like a teenage girl records, this happened to me. Bill didn't look at me today. Nancy was snotty to me today. I took first in track today. Or, you know, it just records events. And recording those events is great. But when something goes wrong, let's say with that teenage girl, and people try to piece together what happened, right? This happened to her. You know, there's a lot of bad things that can happen to teenage girls. Let's face it, they can make bad decisions or whatever. I only pick on teenage girls because I had four of them. All right, we all survived, but it was a struggle. But if you go back and look at, well, what happened here, you need to take the sum of all those journal entries, and by the way, that's what we call them in accounting, journal entries, and we try to distill them into information. And what happens, to get to the answer your question, what happens is that double entry accounting system is the way by which we do this. And it takes some skill and expertise in that system to compile them in a way that'll make sense. And not enough people do that. And they end up with just noise. They end up with journal entries, which I don't know what's going on here. So they kind of go with, how do they feel about their business? They look at their cash balance in their bank account and they say, well, I got plenty of money, right? So that's fine. But they can't go back and look at, well, how did we get that? How did we lose money? Where did we spend money? Where did we overspend? Did we spend too much on marketing? Did we get a return on investment in marketing? Did we get a return on certain tactics in marketing? Did we not? All that kind of stuff is what you need from a system, but it has to be accessible and easily maintainable to the business owner.
I agree. And also, I think you should also touch on the importance of keeping your receipts. Do you want to touch on that?
Well, yeah, keeping receipts is very important. But I also say that even just scanning receipts in, taking a picture on your phone, that's all you got to do. I'm not into keeping hard copy receipts. Keeping digital, totally acceptable. More interested in making sure that the source of the payment for those receipts are kept. The statements, the PDF statements of the Amex card, the bank withdrawals, all that. In a pinch, one can go to those that show proof of payment being made on something. And I actually prefer that. I like both. And the bigger the expense, the more substantiation one needs to have. So if it's a meal, not a big deal. Take a picture of a receipt, pull it off of an Amex card. That's fine. If it's a $12,000 invoice that you paid, get the invoice, get the disparate copy of the payment, build it up a little bit. So in case that ever gets challenged or questioned, it's like, there it is. We got it ready to go.
Yeah, I agree. And for someone who feels behind, embarrassed, or overwhelmed, what's the first step towards financial clarity?
Well, first of all, dismiss that. There's no shame. There's no shame. There should be no guilt in this. I'll say this, and this problem. You might not agree with this. I don't know. Some people don't. Some people get angry when I say this. I say we collectively, the industry and the industry ecosystem, ranging from the fintech systems, QuickBooks, Xero, you know, the usual suspects in that market, down to the simple bookkeeper, we didn't create the system, but we're using it. And I don't think we've done a good job of taking it to a level where it's, where we can empower people successfully to do this. Not just put it on them and say, do it. And then we, you know, scratch our heads like, geez, how could you miss this? How could you not reconcile your accounts for 6 months, right? Or three right. years. You know, we just need to do a better, it's kind of our fault for enabling this. And I don't know how we, you know, I'm guilty of it too. So it's not like I'm pointing the finger at others, but this is kind of what we tried to do with Ipatio, right? Take that away and empower them so that they can do this. And I will say AI and some cool technology that's now available has made it available.
Oh, that's awesome, Kelly. Well, financial confidence does not begin with perfection. It begins with seeing the truth, clarity enough to make better decisions. After the break, where we will talk more about taxes, planning, how to reduce surprises before they become problems. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more strategies to elevate your credit, eliminate debt, and build lasting wealth. Stay tuned. Hello, I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, host of the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. As a financial strategist and entrepreneur, I created this show to help individuals unlock real financial power through credit education and wealth strategy. We're looking for contributors, credit experts, financial advisors, business funding specialists, entrepreneurs, wealth strategists, and mindset leaders. If you're building tools, strategies, or systems that help people achieve financial independence, I'd love to have you join the conversation. The FICO Diva Show airs weekly on Now Media Television and streams on Roku, Apple TV, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and major digital platforms. Let's redefine what financial freedom looks like. And we're back. I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, and this is the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. Let's continue building.
And welcome back to the FICO Diva Show. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, cultural, financial empowerment, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock and ready whenever you are. So before the break, Mr. Kelly Coughlin and I were speaking about why financial clarity matters. And now we're moving into one of the biggest stress points for business owners and high tax households, taxes, our favorite T word. So Kelly Coughlin believes traditional CPA work is part of the answer, but not the whole answer. People need a partner who can help organize the financial activity and explain what the numbers mean and support better decisions throughout the year. So Kelly, what's the biggest difference between simply preparing taxes and actually planning to reduce tax surprises?
Well, it's a very good question. Preparing taxes is kind of like, remember that metaphor I used in the previous session about journal entries and journals. Taxes are really the process of simply compiling those things in an organized manner based on some IRS rules and guidance and putting them in boxes and adding them up and getting them onto a form. So it's all historical stuff. Tax return preparation is all historical. Once the year passes, or ends December 31, other than a couple types of transactions, you're stuck with what happened. Like, you're stuck with your history on that. And so planning is kind of anticipating, well, what will my stuck with look like? What will that look like in April? Or as most small businesses do, they file an extension, so they don't know until September, October, 60%, I think is the number, that file extension. So planning is where you kind of anticipate where you're going to be in, say, frankly, it's good to do all year, make decisions kind of with that in mind, and then make some changes before the tax year ends. And I just want to add one other little footnote to this is taxes represent over 60%, 50 to 60%, depending upon what state you live in, California, you're in the 60% range, Florida, Texas, the non-tax, they're more in the 50% range. It still is a big number when you take all in taxes, income taxes, payroll taxes, self-employment taxes, sales tax, excise tax, property tax. There's probably two or three others that I just didn't list here. That number is about 50 to 60% of your lifetime wealth and earnings. And what is surprising is that people will give attention to something that represents 20%, 10%, 30%, mortgage, car payment, all that, right? But they won't give adequate attention to tax planning. And it's a big number, lifetime number. You can run the numbers on your clients. See, here's how much you made, here's how much you paid. It's a big number.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And you're right. People don't think about tax planning. It's like when I used to be a contractor, and people would spend $10,000 on a fridge that was going to give out in 3 years, as opposed to their kitchen that was going to last them a lifetime. So it's kind of like the same scenario. So I'm really curious, Kelly, why do business owners often wait too long before asking for tax guidance?
They just don't have their numbers in front of them. It gets back to what we just talked about in the financial clarity and Ipatio and QuickBooks. And we haven't given them a system, a process, a method by which they can cost effectively, efficiently, accurately, timely, completely get the numbers they need throughout the year that say, oh, I'm having a great year. They find this out in June, and then we can start doing some planning then. Or they're having a terrible year, and maybe we start planning for next year, decelerate collections. If you don't need more tax loss this year, or write-offs this year, then, you know, get your revenues modified, your collections down. Decelerate expenses. There's a lot of things you can do if you're having a good year or a bad year, but it all gets at, they have data, they know their transactions, they can look at their credit card and see, here's where I spent money, they can look at their bank account, here's the deposits coming in, but they don't have information to give them guidance on what to do. We give them data, we don't give them useful information.
I agree. And there's a lot of tax preparers out there who just plug in numbers and say, here you go. I'm sure you've experienced it. I'm sure you've heard horror stories out there. So, and speaking of that, what does it look like to help clients create and keep more income in a practical and compliant way?
Well, let's just stick with that easy number, 50%. They end up, I did an analysis one time, just ran some what if scenarios. Let's just take, I took somebody that earns $100,000 a year. And I said, if we did some tax planning, and got that number cut by, don't hold me to these numbers, but it's like if we did some tax planning and got your numbers down to like 10% for your lifetime, it equated to like $500,000 in, if they had saved that, if they had put that in their 401k or some kind of retirement thing. The difference, it was like $500,000 to $750,000, depending upon what they, you know, what income they had. I don't know. I think $500,000 is a good number.
I agree.
And I'd all for paying your taxes and you get services from your government. I'm not into funding fraud. I'm not into giving it to somebody else that's gonna, government's gonna have people that'll rip us off. I'm not into that. But I am supportive of paying for infrastructure or goods and services that governments provide. And I know we get value out of that. But I also know that there's a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse with that money. And I'd rather put that $500,000 in my, I'm still gonna pay my reasonable fair share of taxes, but instead of 50%, it's gonna be 40%. I can live with that number.
That, there you go. So how should people think about the connection between taxes, cash flow, and building real wealth?
Well, reducing your expenses generally is going to help cash flow. That's not, you don't need to be a rocket science CPA to know that thing. Anything you can do to better manage your output, your outflow of cash, will either help you live a better life by saving more, by not living day to day, by having, you know, a month of wages, of living expenses saved, and then 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. You know, you take these things in bite-sized pieces. I'm not into shaming people for overspending. This is a country that as you know, this is a consumer-driven economy here. We have the biggest and best and brightest people out there promoting their products and services to get you to part with your money. And the temptation is enormous. And so it's not surprising that people, they've overspent. It's just not, it's a country where you don't overspend when you're living in a, you know, a desert or a jungle in South America or something, right? You don't have anything to spend your money on. Here, we can spend everything we make plus more, call Amazon, have it delivered, bam, we got it.
Yeah.
So the temptation is enormous. And people have to try to get whatever tool they can to get control of that so that they can save more today, because saving today, it means that they can spend it later. So all they're doing is deferring their spending. They're not eliminating it. They're deferring it so they can spend it when they don't have as much money in later years, when they're as old as I am.
You're not old. You're still young. Well, tax planning is not only about what happens once a year. It's about giving people more control, more confidence, and a better visibility throughout the year. Coming up next, we will look at how Everyday CPA and iPatio helps business owners move from accounting frustration to better decision making. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more strategies to elevate your credit, eliminate debt, and build lasting wealth. Stay tuned. Hello, I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, host of the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. As a financial strategist and entrepreneur, I created this show to help individuals unlock real financial power through credit education and wealth strategy. We're looking for contributors, credit experts, financial advisors, business funding specialists, entrepreneurs, wealth strategists, and mindset leaders. If you're building tools, strategies, or systems that help people achieve financial independence, I'd love to have you join the conversation. The FICO Diva Show airs weekly on Now Media Television and streams on Roku, Apple TV, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and major digital platforms. Let's redefine what financial freedom looks like. And we're back. I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, and this is the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. Let's continue building.
And welcome back to the FICO Diva Show. I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, and I'm here with Kelly Coughlin, CPA and CEO of Everyday CPA Inc. We have talked about financial clarity, reducing tax surprises. Now we're going deeper into the systems behind the money, your favorite B word, bookkeeping cleanup, QuickBooks frustration, income expense analysis, and the kind of ongoing insight that helps business owners stop guessing and start leading with confidence. So Kelly, why do messy books create more than an accounting problem for business owners?
Oh boy, I'm trying to think of a metaphor because I just saw that question and I'm trying to think of a good example of why. I'll probably miss the mark here, but it's when you get information that is important and gets misinterpreted and leads one to conclude something incorrect, or leads one to conclude nothing. And I can't say that in my experience looking at cleaning up books and looking at the books of that are created, that are used, the system that's, I don't want to pick on the vendor, right? But you know, it's a QuickBooks is the dominant player out there. And they've done a good job to try to make it less of a double entry system that requires accounting expertise. They've done a great job of trying to do that. It isn't quite there. And they keep trying to get it there, but it's not there. It's not there for companies that don't have a nearly full-time bookkeeper, certainly part-time bookkeeper. And so what happens is that you end up with either misinformation that leads you astray, that you issue a financial report, the bank balance hasn't been reconciled, you turn it into the bank and they say, oh, you got $100,000 in your bank account and that's with us. Oh, I see, I checked your bank balance, I see 10,000. You have 90 here. What? Oh, damn, we didn't reconcile. So that's just a dead giveaway to a bank that you're not on top of things. And if you're trying to get a loan from that bank, for instance, it ain't gonna happen. If you don't have accurate books that show, that make sense, that are kind of applying the double entry system thing here, then it actually hurts you more than helps you. You're better off saying, I don't have books. Can you use my tax return? Yeah, they don't like that because they're not going to give money to somebody that doesn't have good financial accounting so that they can monitor their expenses throughout the month, throughout the year. Did I get your question?
No, yeah, you did. I agree with you 100%. Like whenever you need a business loan, your banks are requesting a P&L, which is a profit and loss statement, and a balance sheet. And yeah, oftentimes they're not reconciled. So that's correct. So what are the signs that QuickBooks or bookkeeping issues are holding a business back besides those two items that you just discussed?
Okay. Financial information has to be timely, complete, and accurate. I know that's stating the obvious, but this is what our business, our CPA stuff, is the linchpin to what we do. get timely information to constituents, owners, lenders, vendors, employees, whomever, timely, accurate, and complete. That's what is required. And it's not, historically, it's not been an easy task. There's a lot of ways that can go wrong. You have a bookkeeper that's sick. You need to get financial information ready. Oh, timeliness. Sorry, can't, got to get ready for a bank meeting today. Bookkeeper's sick. Dang, cancel the meeting. Complete. Oh, did we not get that credit card statement in there? Dang, we missed a whole bunch of expenses there. Oh, unapplied, you know, what do they call that in QuickBooks? Unapplied balance something. I can't remember what it is, but it constantly perplexes owners. Didn't clear the bank fee. Oh, all his revenue sitting in there uncleared because the bank fee didn't connect and they're missing income. Or it gets mischaracterized as a loan. I've seen these things where they get a loan deposit. They get a bank loan for an automobile, right? Or operating capital. And that gets classified as income and subject to self-employment tax. Like these are things that can really cause problems for mm-hmm. a company. And they need to have accurate, timely, complete information. Timely means not at the end of the year, not at tax time, every month, every week. And if it's a really tightly controlled cash, every day.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And Kelly, you know, before we continue, can you tell us how our viewers can reach out to you, where you're located, and how they can connect for more information?
Find us at everydaycpa.com. And the best way
If you're speaking, I can't hear you.
Hello?
Now, there you are. Now I can hear you. Can you tell us again how to reach out to you? I heard everydaycpa.com and go on.
Yeah. Everydaycpa.com. They can make Calendly appointment there with me or someone on our team. That's probably the best way to do it. And my email is kelly@everydaycpa.com. We try to drive everybody to that, and then they can get into our system if they want to continue from there.
And what about if someone is interested in your iPatchio?
That's the best way to do it. There's hopefully, if they've done it right, that there's a way that they can get that going from the website. Also, they can get a login. Right now, Apache is only available if they're tax clients of ours. We're using it primarily to help people with that are our tax clients to make. We'll probably expand it to more than that, frankly, by the end of the year or next year. But right now, it's available to clients for whom we do their tax, their personal business tax returns.
And Kelly, earlier you were also sharing with me that you are an author of a few books. Do you want to tell us about those as well?
All sorts of layups here. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I've got, I think there's three books behind me. Can you read those? Mm-hmm. Those are Spending, Tax, and Saving. They're called Tips and Hacks Your Dad Never Taught You. And it's the idea was to try to take these three topics, taxes as being the biggest expense that everybody incurs throughout their lifetime. Spending is a way that you try to live a happy life. But if you spend too much, you're happy life is going to be not so happy in the last chapter of your life. If you don't have anything saved, you're going to be pretty miserable if you have to live off Social Security. So spending helps with that. And then saving is, what do you do with it once you did save it? And mm-hmm. I will say that credit, because I know credit's a big part of what you do.
Yes.
I thought about including a fourth book in credit because it's so important too. But as I looked at it, I realized that, you know what? Credit underpins all of these things. It impacts how much you can spend, how much you spend on credit interest rate, how much you overspend in terms of credit card. It's a huge component of that. And it impacts how much you save. If you're spending too much, you're not saving as much. If you're paying too much in interest, you're spending too much, you're not saving that. So credit is like underpins all of this stuff.
I agree with you 100%. And how can better financial systems support not only business success, but a healthier and less stressful life?
Well, there's a couple things that they say cause most stress in families and relationship. I'll mention one of those, and that's money. Money is a big source of stress. And you and I talked before this show that we both do tax resolution. You've seen this. You've seen how past tax debt, for instance, which is a result of unfortunate things that happen in people's life. Again, no shame in that. This happens. It's just part of life. It causes enormous stress, and it comes out in different ways. Stress manifests itself in multiple ways, ranging from internal heart problems, health problems. Stress is a killer for that. It really is. And then it expands to your whole ecosystem. It expands into your kids and your family, your wife or your husband. It even expands to the dog, right? You get a letter from the IRS and you kick the dog because you're angry at things and you're stressed out. So it causes, you know, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, all these kind of things can come about from stress, and financial stress is the key cause of stress in people's lives.
I completely understand. And the right financial system gives people more than numbers and gives them direction. After the break, we will close with wealth building, financial confidence, and how viewers can take action toward a cleaner financial future. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more strategies to elevate your credit, eliminate debt, and build lasting wealth. Stay tuned. Hello, I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, host of the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. As a financial strategist and entrepreneur, I created this show to help individuals unlock real financial power through credit education and wealth strategy. We're looking for contributors, credit experts, financial advisors, business funding specialists, entrepreneurs, wealth strategists, and mindset leaders. If you're building tools, strategies, or systems that help people achieve financial independence, I'd love to have you join the conversation. The FICO Diva Show airs weekly on Now Media Television and streams on Roku, Apple TV, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, and major digital platforms. Let's redefine what financial freedom looks like. And we're back. I'm Aldiva Rubalcava, and this is the FICO Diva Show on Now Media Television. Let's continue building.
And welcome back to the FICO Diva Show. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand. Anytime you like, download the free Now Media TV app on Roku and iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, Catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From businesses and news to lifestyle, culture, financial empowerment, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock and ready whenever you are. So welcome back to the FICO Diva Show. And today, Kelly Coughlin and I have been talking about moving from accounting confusion to financial clarity. In this final segment, we are connecting that clarity to something bigger, building real wealth, living with less financial stress, and making smarter decisions that support both businesses, growth, and personal well-being. And you can follow Kelly on and look at them on their website at everydaycpa.com. Forgive me. Kelly, so when you say you help people build real wealth, what does that mean beyond simply earning more money?
Yep, that's kind of the money question here, isn't it, Aldiva? Because that's the purpose of why we do what we do. I'm surprised how sometimes when accountants are asked the question, especially tax accountants are asked the question, why do people need good financial records, right? Why do they need accounting? Well, they need accounting because they need to file their tax returns accurately. That's total nonsense. They need accounting so that they can create wealth for themselves and know where they're spending their money, why, how much revenue they're creating, how much they have available to then create wealth. Filing taxes is a necessary benefit of that, but it's not the primary reason we need financial clarity. We need financial clarity to get less stress in our life, like we talked about in the previous episode. We need financial clarity so that we can build real wealth, because earning is simply a number that we earn. Net earnings is simply the number that's left over after everybody else in our lives got our money. So if we don't focus on building our own wealth through savings, retention of earnings, but spending, which is building the wealth of others, other companies, other individuals, ultimately it gets to shareholders, other companies. So spending is focused on enriching other people and building wealth for them. Saving is about enriching ourselves and building wealth for ourselves, not others.
I agree with you 100%. And what financial habits help business owners and self-employed professionals feel more in control?
Well, you need to know, we've talked, you know, in a couple of these other episodes about, it's all noise, it's all data until you can kind of compile it into things like, oh, I didn't know I was spending 20% of my W-2 on Uber Eats or on food delivery. I had no idea that number was there. Or I had no idea that my credit card interest was 28% and was my fourth largest expense on my income statement. I had no idea. It's those kind of things that make people kind of victims of this, because all those merchants, whether it be Amazon's another one, right? I have to limit myself with Amazon. I say, when I go on to Amazon login, other than to see if something's arrived, if I'm looking for something, I tell myself I'm not going to log in to look for anything, but once a week, and I'm gonna limit whatever I spend that event to less than $200. If I can load up my cart and I can put $1,000 worth in there, but I'm not spending more than $200. That's it. So you have to develop these little tips and tricks to help you keep from enriching others because they're not looking out for you. They want to get as much of your wealth as you can. That's the beautiful part of our economy, but it's a curse. You know, it's a curse. It's so easy to part with our own money and give it to others.
That is so true. And speaking of that, because now you're talking about mindset, what mindset shift helps someone stop avoiding their numbers and start using them as a tool for their own empowerment?
Well, the key word is empowerment. And the other key word is non-victimization, I guess, is by gaining control of this and being reasonable about it, gives you this sense of superpower. And it's not just with money, it's with health and fitness and diet. It's these things that we know aren't good for us. And everybody knows, I believe, everybody knows that wanton spending is probably not a good thing. And the more mature you get, the more you realize this. The same thing with lousy eating, no exercise, all that kind of stuff. It's getting those things in your life that are really impactful and getting control of those things to the extent you can. There are a lot of times you can't control it, and that's part of life. And we got our goal then is to go to the faith part of it and say, geez, why did this happen to me? And then you kind of reach to another part of dimension of life and say, why did this thing happen to me? And I believe there's always kind of a purpose for things, and we need to try our best to understand it. But we need to try to get, to the extent we can, get control over those things that are really important: health, diet, fitness, finance, relationships, that kind of stuff. I can't talk the relationship thing. I'm no expert on that.
That's awesome. So what's one practical step viewers can take this week to move from confusion to clarity?
The one step I would say, if we, since you like the credit space, and I think that dominates all three of spending, tax, and savings, I'm going to do a spending tip here. Is that okay? Can I take a spending one, not a tax tip, but a spending one?
Of course. This is your show. Go for it.
Well, I would like to see people take one expense that they think they probably are abusing, and mm-hmm. and say compile that number, add it up. You don't need to get an app for it. Go to your credit card statement and say, let's say it's Amazon. Okay, I'm just going to pick on Amazon. I like to pick on Amazon or Uber Eats because they're kind of similar. They're easy to do. Send me this, I want it, or I don't want to cook today, send me that, I want it. So take Uber Eats or Amazon or whatever expense that's their weakness, their Achilles heel. It might be, you know, Nordstrom, it might be purses and shoes or whatever, right? Figure out what it is. And then add it up for a 3-month period, and then make a decision to reduce that by 50%, and then take that 50% reduction and put it into a savings account. Do that with one expense category. Look at the total for 3 months, average it and divide it by 3 for 3 months, or you can take the full year if you want, and then take that amount and start putting that towards wealth accumulation that you can then spend that money when you're no longer are earning money today. Retirement, you're on Social Security. Think about that $500 that you save it, and you're going to spend it later.
Okay, I just feel like my precious was just attacked right here. No, just kidding. So for those of you who want to get more information, please reach out to Kelly Coughlin at everydaycpa.com. Kelly, thank you for joining us on the FICO Diva Show and for helping us make financial clarity feel practical, approachable, empowering. The conversation reminds us that money confidence is not about knowing everything. It's about getting the right support, understanding the numbers, reducing surprises, and making decisions that help people more of what they earn and build for a stronger future. To everyone watching, your financial breakthrough may begin with one honest look at where you are, one organized system, and one better decision. I'm Aldiva Rubalcaba, and this is the FICO Diva Show. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.